I've been like the lockdown just over the past few years, I really want to get in touch with just my heritage, especially on my dad's side, Malawian, and it's like our tribe, Tumbuka people, especially because there's not really, as far as I know, I've never come across any other Tumbuka people in Australia, and we're pretty like one of the smaller tribal groups in Malawi as well. So most of it is oral history. So I kind of feel like doing music and putting, you know, my experiences into just like speaking on it and putting it into song, I think is a continuation of that oral kind of tradition. But I really wanted to find out more, which there's not a lot on. So I was just doing a lot of digging. And Machana is basically a word that refers to a generation of people that left in search of more resources to bring back home, but those people that never went back home and just kind of stayed elsewhere. So that kind of had a lot of significance for me, hearing that my dad made it all the way out here, and, you know, we just kind of figured it out from there. A father and animal, it just kind of, it's based on another Tumbuka phrase, but I've kind of just adapted it. I was thinking on just the concept of, like, being a human is so dependent on being around other humans. And so I guess with the isolation element of this album and just kind of the disconnection of being out here in a place that kind of has no relevance, historically to, like, my lineage.
No, I think it's so, I mean, it's so beautiful, but it's such a important record, and how you talk a lot about self-discovery and acceptance and I guess your life as well. Have you found this as a bit of a cathartic experience to be able to talk about, I guess, difficult topics like intergenerational trauma and survival? And have you found that it's drawn you closer to community who may have experienced the same things?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a big cathartic experience, and it kind of hit me at a time in my life where I really only focused on making music for the longest time, and it's still like my favorite thing to do. But other parts of my life, you know, not having, you know, the intergenerational kind of establishments and access necessarily, I kind of got to a point where I was like, I'm actually limiting my ability to keep making music by not being able to, like, pay rent and all that. So in that period where I was making this album, I was trying to get my life together, you know, in other, in terms of my day job, and trying to do something more sustainable and something more wholesome. And yeah, I've been doing lots of community work and working with other African communities within this city, which has been really nice to kind of see a younger generation where they do have a lot more community instead of, like, necessarily coming out here alone like my dad did. It's like families coming out here, and yeah, like generations, like young African kids growing up with other young African kids that were all born here. You know, it's been a really, like, nice experience in a lot of ways. Like, I think making this album wasn't a conscious, it wasn't necessarily a conscious decision. There's been parallels between making the album and my life kind of representing that as well. It's been a bit of, like, closure, which is nice.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing some very, like, important work, and really incredible work in your personal life, and something that I think you've just brought to the, I guess, the Australian hip hop scene that is so forward-thinking and so different than what we're seeing across the board at the moment. So I really have to commend you on that. It's so interesting to hear your story and the work that you're doing outside of music as well. But for this record, something I found really interesting, we were talking a little bit earlier about underground dance music and that sort of thing. You do have such a strong production background, and you bring a lot of, like, versatile styles to the record. Is that something that inspires you when you're making music, like dance music, or I guess, like, even avant-garde production?
Yeah, for sure. I'm, like, honestly such a big fan of, like, just so many genres, and they've all really come to, I think, in terms of making music, I don't really want to think about the style I'm making. I just kind of want to make it and have it represent all influences. Because I think there are kind of, there's scenes here and there's places that are easy to enter into if you kind of try and make a certain sound. And I'm not the best at doing that. Also, I just really find music the most rewarding when I'm taking in all kinds of influences. And yeah, definitely, like, I was listening to a lot of music. That lockdown was a good opportunity to finally take in music instead of just focusing working on creating it. And yeah, I was listening to a lot of electronic music, a lot of like metal, like 90s, 80s, black metal, death metal, heaps of like dub, reggae, like 50s, 60s, jazz music, soul. I don't know, just like everything. I just kind of wanted to put out something that just felt right, like regardless of how it sounded.
And it's so refreshing just to listen to the album and no two songs sound the same. Like the whole record from start to finish is such a ride, and it's so cool to just have so many different styles and influences, but ultimately it sounds like you. One song that I really love, which is the lead single, is One Layer, which also has a pretty cool concept behind it. And it's based on a theory that we're living in purgatory. Can you tell us a little bit about the concept behind that?
Yeah, well, when I started the album, I was like, I didn't read it because I fall asleep, but I was thinking about the concept behind Dante's Inferno and the whole, like, just the descent into hell. And I thought that was so wild, like, just a physical, like, representation of going through all the levels and how, like, it's just kind of an allegory for just all the ways in which people can be. Yeah, just all the ways people can just be. And, like, I was thinking, like, one layer kind of is just, yeah, that purgatory level on the top. And I just think about how, you know, all these concepts are just a projection of our thoughts and understanding of the world and, you know, that sort of thing. So the album originally, I was going to do 9 songs and have them all based on a layer, but I did one layer. And then the final track on the album, In This Together, and this is like a city within one of the layers of hell. I kept some things from that, but then I kind of just went off on a tangent and just, you know, the album kind of made itself. And when I was done with it, I didn't really know what the album was. I didn't know if it sounded good or not, if it was weird or if it was generic. So I really appreciate everything you said about it.
Oh, you're so welcome. I mean, I had such a great listen to it, and I'm sure I'll give it another 20 listens throughout the week once it's actually released. One other thing I really wanted to ask about is the collaborations you've done on the record. Despite it, you know, being a solo project for the most part, you've brought on some friends like Chef Chung, Sevi, Real Name, and Nini. What's it like bringing on some friends and getting them to be a part of the record as well?
Yeah, I feel like it was really natural. I just wanted people on it to be people that are around me and people that are just, you know, really close to me. Like the tracks with the songs with Sevi and Real Man, and they just kind of, you know, they came over like after the songs were kind of formed, just whenever they'd be around, we just kind of make something, or I'd be like, well, I made this track, like, do you want to jump on this? But the second track, Mournful Fan Humming with Sevi, that song came together in like an hour, maybe less. We were just listening to a record and then we just flipped it and he just went in, and then I just copied like his flow. And I don't know, I think I really want it to sound like genuine and not like it's a feature for the sake of a feature or like, you know, for the sake of kind of marketing or anything. Like I just want it to be the people that are around me, like, yeah, my partner Nini and Chef Chung is from like the same kind of part of the city, isn't it?
Is there anything else that you're working on, either like solo or with other people, collaborations and such, that are like coming out in the future? What's kind of next on your radar post album release?
Yeah, there's so much. There's too much. I got another album with Key and Neil coming. I just finished an album with Real Name. We've got a Two Birds project happening. I've got a band called Plea Unit with Biang and Endless Proud. I'm working on my next solo record. I've got the instrumentals finished and some songs finished for that already.
Oh, you're booked and busy.
Yeah, there's a lot. I don't know when it'll all get finished and come out, but yeah, the next year or two is probably already all recorded.
Amazing. Well, we can't wait to hear it. Have you got any live performances coming up? Any plans to tour, say, to Perth? Anything like that on the cards?
Yeah, I wish. I really want to go out and see more of the country. And they escape this city every once in a while. But yeah, we'll be going up to Sydney, Eora, with Plea Unit to do a show at Soft Centre. And in June 11th, we'll be playing with Space the Bus and Shabazz Palaces as part of Rising Festival.
Yeah, sick. So cool.
Yeah, I got an album launch in July that we're in the midst of planning at the moment. But yeah, I don't know. There'll be more. I kind of lose track of gigs.
Look, it sounds like you've got so much on your plate that that's totally fair. I reckon you can think about them as they happen. But hopefully one day we'll see you this way. I would absolutely love to check out one of your shows when it happens. But thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I hope to come out that way soon, ASAP.